life's greatest changes. Some of them are found in the book of Matthew. And we're looking in Matthew, we're going to be looking at chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, looking at life's changes. And as we begin to focus on some of life's changes, we're going to be going through a day of the Lord Jesus. You watched the movie, The Longest Yard. And sometimes I feel like Jesus had some of the longest days. As you begin this particular day with the Lord Jesus, all of a sudden you recognize, and let's read it in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 1. That time Herod the Tetrarch heard the report about Jesus and said to his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He has risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work in him. For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. Because John said to him, 'It's not lawful for you to have her.' And although he wanted to put him to death, he feared, and the multitude, because they counted him as a prophet." Let's just begin to set the tone just a moment. As we're looking at the longest day, we're going to start out with a touch of corruption. Now, that happened in the Lord Jesus' life, and so therefore, we recognize there are times in which corruption will actually come into our life on this long day. We're going to look at two people primarily right here. We're going to look at a guy named John the Baptist. If you saw him, you would see this guy that's real slender. You'd see this guy that wore camel's hair. He ate locusts and wild honey. He was a prophet. He was a man's man. And all of a sudden, you see him as a picture of virtue. Right next to him, though, we're going to establish this man whose name is Herod. And right next to Herod, there's going to be his wife called Herodias. Now, Herodias, what do we know? You go back into the ancient times and look in the life and the days of the Lord Jesus. One of the most sad things happened. Herodias married her uncle. And in the course of that, her uncle Philip was a rich man, but he was a private man. He was a quiet man. One day, his brother Herod, who was the ruler of the king over Jerusalem in that area, came home to visit. And when he visited, all of a sudden, he met Herodias. And Herodias began to contemplate in her mind, private man, public man, in stardom, in solitude. And all of a sudden, she began to connive what she was going to do. And in the conniving, what she did, she said to Herod, said, "Look, why don't we just get together?" And so Herod said, "This is what I'll do. I'll go back and I'll divorce my wife, and then I'll bring you down to live." Well, in the course of this time, the word got back to Herod's wife that the plan that he had put in gear. And Herod's wife back there in Jerusalem took off and went back to her father's house, who was an Arabian, who was a leader. And it made him so mad, he set war against Herod and killed all of Herod's men. But Herod got away because of the Roman legion. Only with the iron rod of a Roman legion did Herod ever get loose. Well, plan continued on. His wife was divorced. Herodias divorced her husband Philip. And they came and they lived there in Jerusalem, in that area. But all of a sudden, here's this preacher out by Edom, out by the water. Well, there's a lot of water because he's baptizing. And all of a sudden, out of that comes forth this preacher who said and told to all of the people right here, "It's not lawful for you to marry your brother's wife." Made the monarch so mad. Immediately he set out word and had Herod put in a prison that had been built by his father there on the eastern side of the Dead Sea. Herodias, according to Mark, when he was dead, couldn't touch it. But in this long day of Jesus, all of a sudden, we see happening, Herod invites all of his generals and all of his leaders there, and they come and they have this big party, and the wine was flowing and they were drunk and they were just singing out their tunes. And all of a sudden, one of the guys said, "Hey, why Why don't you bring Salome, your daughter here, the daughter of Philip, your brother, and let her dance? We heard she's beautiful. And so they did. He was so overcome by this sensual dance. He said to her, Salome, ask what you will, and I'll give it to you up to half of my kingdom. And she had already been prompted by her mother and said, I want the head of John the Baptist. He was sorry, but because of his word in front of all of these officials, he ordered it done. And he brought the head of John the Baptist. When word got out to his disciples, they came and took that lifeless body, and they went and they buried the body in a spot unknown. In the first picture, we see now Jesus, when he heard these things, he departed. In this long day, we find a man of virtue that was met with injustice. We find a violent, vicious woman who had an innocent man killed. Sometimes we must face corruption. But what would John say to us? John would say to us, go the distance. Do you remember what Jesus said about John? He said, no man born of woman is greater than John the Baptist. And yet, John the Baptist was a righteous man. And yet, John the Baptist heard the executioner come, open the door, go to the chopping block. Life is over. That's not the end of the story. Herod heard about Jesus, and on this day, when he heard about Jesus, he said, this has got to be none other than John the Baptist. So what happened? When wicked people turn their back, they think it's over with, but the ear is always open. When he heard of these powerful miracles, he said, it's John the Baptist. Cain, you remember, killed his brother Abel. And Cain was always listening. He said, Lord, somebody is going to kill me. Jezebel had Naboth killed for a piece of land. And the prophet said unto Ahab, the dogs are going to lick your blood in this very place. Every time the dogs would howl, I wonder if Ahab said, this is the day. And now Herod, he heard the miracles being done. Is this it? A touch of corruption. On this very day, the Lord Jesus left. And he went out to the other side, and he went on the seaside. He went out by way of water. And as he traveled, we'll pick it up with verse 13. When Jesus heard it, he departed there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitude heard it, they followed him on foot of the cities. And when Jesus saw the great multitude, he was moved with compassion, and he healed their sick. You see, in this long day in the life of Jesus, there was a touch of corruption. But now, there's a touch of compassion. Because when you begin to look here, all of a sudden you see the Lord Jesus saw these people. And rather than having a moment of sorrow, rather than having a moment of grief, he met the needs of the people all day long. When it came down to the time of the evening, Jesus said, the disciples said, Lord, send them away so they can go to McDonald's and get them a hamburger on their way home. And the Lord said, no, you feed them. Us feed them. How can we do that? We can't feed them. We're out in the middle of the desert, Lord. And all of a sudden he said, what have you got? We got 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. He said, bring it to me. And he took those 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, and he lined up the people. He prayed to God and asked God to bless it, and he passed out the food and fed 5,000 men. And then there were women and children. There could have been 20,000 people there. And when it was all over with, 12 baskets were picked up. You can say, how does that relate to us today? You see, if we have a touch of compassion, God can do something God-sized. What is something God-sized? Something God-sized is this. It's when something is bigger than you are. The challenge of something God-sized must reach out beyond that which is practical. And it was not practical to feed 20,000 people with 5 barley loaves, 5 biscuits, and 2 sardines. It's just not practical. But if you're going to do something God-sized, reach out. Total commitment. Give me what you've got. Total surrender to the Lordship of Christ. And then what? Offer it up in prayer. And then what? Organize the people. And then what? Pass it out. Whose job is it to feed them? God's. Our job was to put in His hands what we have. His job is to meet the need. What have we done that's God-sized? What have we done that's a challenging? Maybe we're dreaming too small. Maybe we're not thinking, Lord, this isn't practical. And He said, that's right. Lord, this is impossible. And He says, that's right. Lord, this is all I've got. And He said, give it to me. Listen, folks, with a touch of compassion, we can do things God-sized. In fact, the Lord Jesus said these words. He said, greater things than these will ye do because I go to be my Father. God-sized. Now, sometimes I don't think that we really have an element on this, because after He fed the 5,000 people, all of a sudden the people start saying in the back of their minds, we got Him now. Heals the sick, raises the dead, feeds the public. Somebody gets their arm cut off in a battle. All we have to do is say, Jesus, here's the arm. And He puts it back on and He heals it. And the warrior goes back. We got Him now, guys. And they started talking. Hey, this is the King. This is the Messiah. Let's go get the Romans. Let's put Jesus now in charge. And all of a sudden, Jesus said to His disciples, guys, you need to hit the street. You need to get on the boat. We need to go across the water. But you see, sometimes we need to see there's something far greater. What is your greatest fear? What is your greatest fear? I mean, if I were to isolate one of my greatest fears, you know what it'd be? Snakes. I hate snakes, okay? I just got to put it. I don't like live ones, and I don't like dead ones, okay? That's just the way I am. I don't like snakes. What is your least fearful thing? What if I were to use the term bunny rabbit? Are you afraid of a bunny rabbit? No, that little cuddly thing. Well, listen, in a battle, which would you rather have, a snake or a bunny rabbit? A snake? Because you think a snake would win, wouldn't he? Yeah, well, let's find out.
Certainly been brave today.
There's a rip.
Oh, whoa! Dadgum, I didn't get that. Oh, he went back for more. Oh, look at that. Look at that.
See, she's trying to run him off.
Can you believe that? Can you believe that?
Is she going to bite him?
That's what she's doing. Look at that, honey. Look at that.
Oh, he's going up in a tree. He tried to get away from her. She must be biting him.
Can you believe it? Oh, God. He made it up that tree.
What can I say? Sometimes we need the bunny rabbit, don't we? You want that rabbit, I got that. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing. And you know, that's kind of the way life is, isn't it? Sometimes that in which we're so afraid of if we would just take a touch of courage and walk in courage, great things can happen. Because courage steps out of the boat where weak men, hey, well, they don't want to. Look at this. This is what happened. Jesus said, you guys get in the boat. Go across the water. As they started paddling as the sail, the wind became contrary. The disciples were pedaling harder and harder. Jesus went up into the mountains. Jesus was there to pray. And as Jesus went up in the mountains to pray, the disciples were going and doing exactly what Jesus said, do, go to the other side. And on that way, they kept paddling and paddling to early hours in the morning. They hadn't gone hardly anyways. So they looked up. About 6 o'clock in the morning, they looked up and they saw Jesus walking on the water. What was the first thing they said? It's a ghost! I could have done it too. I mean, really, it's a ghost. Because how in the world can you see that? That Jesus is walking across the water, and as he goes across the water, all of a sudden he gets closer and closer, and Simon Peter, what it could be the greatest fear, it might have been the water, it might have been drowning, but this is what I do know. Simon Peter said, Jesus, if it's really you, Jesus, invite me to come to you. Jesus said these words, come, come. And can you see, oh Simon Peter, the boat's rocking, folks. The wind's roaring. The waves are slapping over the edge of the boat. And now he balances himself. He climbs over that boat and he gets out into the water and he starts walking where no man had ever walked. He was walking on water. The next thing that happened, was it a wave that slapped him across the face? Did he look up and did he see? This is what I do know. He took his eyes off Jesus. He looked at the boisterous waves and he began to sink. And then he cried out words that all of us need to learn. Jesus, save me. And Jesus was close enough where the place where he went down, that Jesus went down, caught him by the hand, lifted him up, and together they walked back and entered into the boat. And when they got inside of the boat, the Bible says, the boisterous wind became calm. Sometimes it takes a touch of courage. Inside of this touch of courage, and what are some of the fundamentals of courage? Courage responds to threatening circumstances. Not always do we show our courage, but when the threatening circumstances are there, what can we do? Jesus will never ask you to do something that he will not give you the ability to do. But out of courage, courage will flow out of faith. Courage, Simon Peter would never have stepped over that edge if he had not believed the words of Jesus. Listen, folks, you'll never step into that place of courage unless you believe what Jesus says. In his word, he says, you can walk where no man walked. If you walk with me, that's what he said. Simon, come. And many people will look at Simon Peter and say, oh man, he went down. No, that's not what I want to look at. I said, oh man, he walked where no man walked. I would much rather have walked where no man walked and went down and been saved by Jesus than never climbed over that boat. Listen, folks, with courage, we can reach out, and on this long day, he was invited, and Peter has success. And he goes a little bit further. He reaches the other side, and when he was out there, all of a sudden, there was a touch of cleansing that occurred. He crawled out of the boat. He went up on the side. Word got out that Jesus was in town, and people started bringing to him those who were sick. And the Bible says, those who were sick came unto him and said, Jesus, let us touch the hem of your garment. Let us just touch your garment and we will be healed. And the Bible says this, every person that touched the hem or touched his garment in any place, the Bible says, everyone was made whole. Everyone was cleansed. I can imagine there was one old moss back that stirred on the side over there and said, "I'm not going to touch him." I can imagine there was one doubter over there that said, "What can that do?" But there was a throne of people that said, "Get out of the way. I'm going all the way." And touched him. You see, if we will understand what God is trying to say, where Jesus is, let's let the men tell you. Let's spread out the word. Men who find out where Jesus is, tell other people where they can find him. Spread the word. Jesus can help. Gather the people. Ask Jesus specifically what you want. And then reach out and touch. It was a long day. Maybe started the 24-hour period the night before. His cousin was dead. 15,000 to 20,000 people were fed. He saved his vocal Simon Peter out of the water after he walked where no man walked. And then he cleansed all of those who would reach out and touch. I would call that a long day. But you know, in our day, what can we do? We know there's going to be a touch of corruption in this world. The Bible says you will have tribulation. But you can also have a touch of compassion. And you can have a touch of courage. And you can have a touch of cleansing. But you got to find out where Jesus is. And reach out and touch him. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you this morning, in a long day in the life of Jesus, it is our hope and our help. Father, it's in this day that many times the things that we fear the most can be overcome by those who we fear the least. Father, I pray in this congregation right now that there'll be people who will take courage. I pray that there will be people who will experience compassion. I pray that there will be people who will be cleansed. And I pray for those, Lord, who are facing corruption, injustice. Father, I pray for them, Lord, that they will stand up and be truthful and be counted, even as John the Baptist. The outcome will not always be the way we want it, but when we stand for truth, it will be for right. Father, bless now your people and help us to go and make a difference in the community. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I'd like to encourage individuals, families, to come to know Jesus. Reach out, touch him. You can. You can. By faith, you can reach out and touch him. The prayer altars are going to be open. If you'd like to give your heart to Jesus today, I'd love to talk with you and we'll pray together. Brother Jim is right here, or one of the ladies right here. They'll be glad to pray with you and share with you how Jesus came into their life. Today, would you like to give your life to Jesus Christ? Today, would you like to say, "Lord, I need the courage"? Today, would you like to say, "Lord, fill my heart with compassion"? Today, would you like to say, "Lord, cleanse me, heal me"? Today. Let's make decisions for Jesus Christ. Let's stand together as we sing.